in these teachings that Paul was giving to the area called Galatia. He tells us in the last chapter that we are the children of God, verse 26, by faith in Jesus Christ. See, God has no grandkids, right? He only has children. And He wants you to know Him as Abba, as the
Amen.
Father. He wants you to know Him in this deep, all-encapsulating relationship that's full of love, grace, truth, and judgment, and justice. Because He's all of those things and so much more. He is your Heavenly Father, right? And so in 26 He tells us that. He's saying that anybody who believes through Abraham's seed will be heirs according to the promise in verse 29. He says, if ye be in Christ, that's a big if you are in Jesus Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And you're heirs, you have an inheritance according to the promise that He gave Abraham. Right, so if you want to know about how God promised Abraham, we could go back to Genesis, but we're not going to tackle that one today, okay? But God promised Abraham some wonderful promises. He promised him the land. He promised him that his offspring would be more than the stars in the sky or the sand on the seas. He promised him that anybody that was for him would be protected. Anybody that was against him would be cursed, amen? And so those were some of the little promises that God gave. But Abraham knew God, and he walked with God. He believed God, and God blessed him immensely with one true son. Amen? And so, and through that, he says, and now that we know that, he says in chapter 4 and verse 1, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Now, there's some really important things that Paul is writing here to the church. All right, first think of this, that you are heirs because of you believed in Jesus Christ who came from Abraham. You are heirs. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differs nothing from a servant. Okay, so you're born in the king's house, or born again, and you're now in the king's house, right? But there's also servants in the king's house. There's the butler, and there's the maid that washes out the swillow pans and stuff like that. What Paul is saying here, listen, child of God, don't consider yourself better than they are. Even though you're an heir of the kingdom, remember who you were before you were born again. Remember the deep. Don't think too highly of yourself. Don't go patting yourself on the back and say, oh man, I've made it. All you others are going to hell. Right? You remember who you are. You're treated the same as a servant. Although you're an heir, you have an inheritance of everything that God has. Right? You have a belonging, a seat at the table, as it were, in the king's house. Different than a servant. But you're still, as a child, as a little child, you're no different than a servant. Even though you're Lord of all, right? You have these great, all-encompassing promises from God. You have, Jesus said, I go to prepare you a place, and if I go, I'll come again, and I will call you to be with me. You have a spot because you trusted Jesus Christ. But while you're still here on the ground, you're still here on this earth, you're still a child. I don't care how old and gray and how smart you get. You're still a child. While you're here. Alright, now while you're here, you don't consider yourself more than a servant. Right? Always keep yourself humble. Always remember who God is and who you are. Walk in the obedience to the Word of God, and He'll bless you immensely. Mm-hmm. Now, we have tutors, but that child, even though he's Lord of all, is under tutors and governor until the appointed time of the Father. Now, who's our tutor? Who's our governor?
Jesus.
All right. Well, hold on. You have the tutor.
Yeah, the Holy Spirit.
All right. You got the Bible. Right. It's the you got the law. You got the Moses. You got the prophets. Those are the tutors. Those are the personal one-on-one teachers. But you also have a governor. That would be the Holy Spirit. All right. That would be the Holy Spirit that is inside of you.
right? The one who actually gives you direction for day-to-day. When you, for day-to-day life, like you're outside today and you want to do something that you know is against the Word of God, right? And all of a sudden, your governor says, hey, Justin, you know, you probably don't want to do that. Right? He doesn't break your free will, right? But he does. He does tell you. And he said, but you have tutors before that because you've read your Bible, right? And you know that these things, these are the attributes of God. I got 10 commandments that tells me who God is and what he expects out of me. So when I get ready to lie, when I get ready to steal, when I get ready to commit fornication, or when I get ready to worship something other than God, I have the Word of God that tells me, don't do that. Right? And then I have the Holy Spirit, the governor of God, living in me, saying, you need to go back to the tutor and check. You know, before you do this, go back and see what I expect out of you.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
And so we got to double check there. We got check yourself twice. All right? So check through the tutors, through the Word of God, and the governor. And we have those tutors and that governor until the appointed time. Woohoo! I like that. You know, there is a day. There's a day that Jesus is coming again. There is an appointed time. I don't know where it is. Not even the angels in heaven. Only the Father knows. Not even the Son. While he was on the earth, he didn't know. But he did know. He said, if I go away, I'm going to come again. When the disciples were standing there and they saw him ascend into heaven, the two men in shining garments, called the messengers, angels, whatever you like, call them George and Bob, I don't care, right? But they said, this same Jesus will come back the very same way that he went. He is coming again. That is an appointed time, all right? So when that appointed time comes, tick, 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 ding, he will be here right then. Not 1 second past, not 1 second before. It's appointed, it's set, it's marked. All right, now, I don't know when that time's going to be, but you know what I'm going to stay under? The tutoring and the governing of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Sure.
I'm going to keep myself humble. I'm going to keep myself in the Word of God. I'm going to keep myself studying the Word of God. I'm going to keep myself prayed up. When I sin, and I do sin, I have an advocate with the Father. And so when I sin, the first thing I do is, Lord, forgive me, right? I keep that account short. Right? I keep that account short. Because he's faithful and just to forgive me. Now, that doesn't give me the free will or the freedom to do whatever I want to do. You know, oh, I'm saved. I can ask forgiveness. So I'm going to go and kick the neighbor's cat. No. Not that you shouldn't kick cats, but it shouldn't be the neighbor's. Don't kick no cats. I understand. But yeah, being mean to somebody, you know, just don't do it. But even though I have the liberty to do it, though I'm saved by grace, should I sin all the more? God forbid. Right? I have a tutor. I have a governor. I have an appointed time. So let's keep our eyes and our focus on that, because we're heirs. We are heirs, joint heirs with Christ Jesus for the good things, for the things that are up in heaven for us. Verse 3 says it this way. Even so, when we were children, we're in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time, all right, that appointed time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, born or made under the law, to redeem that which, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions as children or sons. I like sons because I'm a boy, but if you're a girl, don't worry, you're in that category too. All right? You are the offspring. You are adopted, which is really cool because your kids that you have naturally, you ain't got a choice. It's whatever comes out of the oven, that's it. All right? But when you adopt something, you can go and you say, well, that one's too tall. Too short. No, God doesn't do that because he loves us all. Yeah, while we were still yet sinners, Christ died for us, right?
And he's desiring to call us all out of that. But that adoption is a very special thing. It's a legal document that comes and says, all right, this person used to be part of this family. All right? But he's turned away, or that family's turned away from him for whatever reason. And now I want him to be part of my family. And you pick him out or her out of the world and you call them special to you. That's what Jesus did for you. You were born into sin. It tells us, remember when we were in verse 3 there before we went forward? He said, even so, when we were children under bondage, under the elements of the world, you know, you were born a sinner under the elements of the world, under the prince of the power of the air. You were born a sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But God still loved you. He saw you when you were broken and miserable and hurting and hungry and tired. And you weren't even looking for God. He was looking for you. He wanted you. He looked out and he said, Ryan, I love you and I want you to know me. I want you to know me. Different from all, or my wife when she came out of the Catholic religion, right? And she believed that stuff when she was growing up. She was almost a nun. She was going to a nunnery. It's like a winery where they put a habit on you, but she broke the habit. Anyhow, but she was on that road, you know, that's what she wanted to do. But God saw her there, loved her there, and called her out of that. God saw you where you were at, called you out of that. I was raised by wolves, right? God saw me run around with a pack, right? And he loved me there, and he called me out of that. And he loves you, and he wants to call you out of that, out of the ways of darkness and into his marvelous light. He wants to adopt you, to bring you into his family. And he did that specifically and individually to every single one who would call upon his name. Now that is mind-blowing. Yeah. Because I think of how I was trapped under the elements of the world, under the bondage of this world. But in the fullness of time, amen? Mm-hmm. That's why we never quit praying for folks, right? Because there's a fullness for time for them too, yeah. Right? My sons have rejected Jesus Christ over and over and over and over and over again. They will not hear it from me anymore, right? When we talk or whatever, and I bring up the Bible, they slam the door. Right? George, you know what I'm talking about. Mike, you know what I'm talking about. We all know if you have people that you love, well, it might not be your time to you. It might not be up to you. But there is an appointed time, right? There is an appointed, and when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son to be born of a woman. In the fullness of time, when those cogs and those wheels got to the right time, bam, Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary. And when the time was right, he rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a jackass, right? And had never been ridden before. When the time was right, he stood, and by his stripes, I got healed. When the time was right, he went to a cross and he died for the sin of the world. When the time was right, at that appointed time, he rose from the dead, just as the scripture said, right? And so in that, there's an appointed time. And in that, being made born from a woman, he was born under the law. See, think about this. When you're the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you make all the laws. You're not under the law, you're over the law. Right? So how could God, the Almighty One, be subjected under the law? He had to become flesh. Right? He had to be tempted. How can you tempt the Almighty God? What are you going to tempt him with?
You know, I mean, right, he's God. He spoke the worlds into existence. You can't tempt you with God because he uses, or with gold, because he uses gold for asphalt. Right? You can't tempt him with riches because he makes gates out of solid pearl. You know, what do you got? Can't tempt him with goodness because he's gooder. He's gooder than good, right? He's just gooder and gooder. You can't tempt him with evil because in him there is no evil at all. So what could you tempt him with? Nothing. So God said, as it, like he told Abraham way back, I will provide myself the sacrifice. And he came under the law, right? And for 33 years, never broke the law, although he lived under the law, right? Tempted in every way, just like us, and yet without sin. That he could become sin willfully. See, the payment of sin is death. If he, since, I ain't gonna say if, but since he committed no sin, death had no power over him. Mm-hmm. That's why he had to say on the cross, it is finished, and I give up the ghost. He gave it up. No man took his life from him. He freely laid it down that we, a sinful people that can't lay our lives down because we are sinners, that we could know him and be a joint heir with him. What a great God we serve. I cannot understand why that God even would consider me. Because I know the worm I am. But God, for some reason, loves worms. Amen? He loves worms. And so, and he came in verse 5 to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive that adoption. He came to redeem you. Redeem, another way to think about that is when you bring something to a pawn shop, it was yours, right? I own this, right? And I'm going to go pawn it off, right? And I'm going to come, lay away, that would probably be a better way. Lay away instead of pawning off. Everybody uses lay away, right? You want to buy something, you ain't got quite all the money, so you take it, you pay a portion of it down, and then you go at a later time, you buy it all the way. Well, what Jesus did is he loved people so much, he died on the cross, made a down payment for your soul. And he's coming again to redeem. He's already bought you if you've trusted him. You already belong to him. But I don't know if y'all noticed it, I'm stuck on the earth. Right? I'm walking as light in darkness. Okay? And he came to redeem, to buy us off of that slave market auction block. And he bought us at Calvary. But he's going to come again and redeem us to the purchased possession. He's going to come get it. You've already been bought and paid for it if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now you no longer are your own, but you belong to him. Now what are you doing with that? Would you bring us to another thought right there? But he redeemed us to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive, amen, receive that adoption as sons. Now, in verse 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Alright, so think about this. It tells us in Ephesians that you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. He is your signet. He ka-chunk. USDA, you know, you've got that little blue mark on your forehead, whatever. He seals you with his Holy Spirit. He sent the Holy Spirit into our hearts. And because you are the sons of God, by faith, by grace through faith, he has sent the Holy Spirit, it says the Spirit, and I know it is the Holy Spirit, but it says the Spirit of his Son into our hearts that cries out this longing, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. Are we longing? Man, I'm longing for the day, right? The older I get, the closer it becomes. right? And so I don't want to jump out in front of a truck or nothing like that, but there's coming a day that this corruption will put on incorruption. There's coming a day where this sinful man will never sin again. And I'm looking for Abba. I'm looking for my Father. I'm not overly concerned about the things that are going on in this world. You know why? Because I have a Father in heaven. I'm not really, I mean, I my heart is breaking, but I'm also surrounded with a lot of excitement about the times that we're living in. Okay? Yeah, it looks bad. It looks bad, but I know my daddy's driving the car.
Amen.
Right? It's a bad storm. It's raining, snowing really, really hard. You look out the window and all you see is wrecks and carnage everywhere. Oh, but I know my daddy's driving a bus. It is okay. It's okay. Right? Yeah, there's a mark coming. Right? And the Antichrist, the little horn, is rising. And believe it or not, a lot of folks who we love and know are going to be deceived because the Bible says that they will.
Yeah.
If it were possible, even the very elect,
right.
If it were possible, you know? I see, and when I say see, I'm not talking about prophecy. I'm talking about with my physical eyes. I see a lot of born-again Christians that are wrapped up in fear. All right, we know through the Word of God, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Amen? We ought to have a sound mind, a serious thinking about the times that we're living in and the things that are going on. If we got an Abba, if our Abba is driving the bus, we ought to be in the bus. All right? All right. Hey, the Bible bus. Remember that? G. Vernon McGee, right? Driving the Bible bus. Anybody remember him?
Mm-hmm.
You do, yeah.
I remember the Bible bus.
Yeah.
Oh,
J. Vernon McGee. And he was the first radio pastor.
Yeah, okay.
Very first one. And that's before they got into all the weird stuff that they got into later on. But anyhow, driving us through the Bible. Boy, I used to love that show. I still listen to it from time to time. But anyhow, J. Vernon McGee was that. So we have our Father. We have the Spirit of God living in us. The Spirit of the Son of the Most High God has made His dwelling in our hearts. Which brings me to think what we were talking about last night, guys, about obedience. Think about this. You have the presence of the Most High God sealed in you. And He can't leave until the day of redemption. Okay? Until the redeeming of the purchased possession. So when we choose to live in a life of disobedience, forsaking the assembly would be one. Or we live outside of the confines of the grace and the goodness of God. What does that do to the Holy Spirit that is chained to you?
Grieves
Him.
Immensely.
Grieve not the Holy Spirit, it tells us. Quench not the Holy Spirit. Right? So, although we have the peace with God, we can lose the peace of God through our sinful life. If we don't obey the Word of God, if we don't follow the Spirit of God that's trying to give us direction, especially in this time of change, of what appears to be catastrophic madness. All right, when I look at the things that are going on, I say, this is catastrophic madness. It's crazy. Then you got to hold on to my favorite words in the whole Bible, but God. But God's driving the bus. He knows where we're at. He knows the time that we're in. And He knows those that will walk and by faith and persevere to the end. He also knows the ones that will fall short. He knows the ones that will almost make it and quit. We don't. All right?
I think that's just a looking by faith to Christ.
Yeah.
Continuing to look at Him by faith.
Well, you got to look at Him by faith and be looking for Him, being prepared.
Yeah.
You got the 10 virgins.
Mm-hmm.
virgins, right? Five that had their lamps prepared. After that, you have the parable of the talents. Three guys were given talents. Two of them invested them. One of them hid it under the rock. All of those, the vine and the branches, those were grafted in, and the folks who didn't do what the Father wanted, he cut them off. And he gathered them up and burned them. The 10 virgins that did not have their oil, the door was shut and they could not come in.
They didn't have the Holy Spirit, right? The oil.
They ran out.
They had everything at the beginning.
So that they were left where there was weeping and gnashing of teeth.
That's where they wound up. But when everybody got their lamps, they all had the same lamp.
Yep.
They all had the
oil
same.
Was kind of a picture of the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, yes, but they had that in the beginning.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't refill it.
Right.
All right? They didn't refill it. How do you refill the Holy Spirit? All right, well, let's put it this way. They quenched the Holy Spirit to where he couldn't be lit in their life anymore. All right? Or the parable of the talents. All of those guys were servants. You can't be a servant, right, without being a servant. You have to be in that fellowship. And the king, the master, gave them all certain amounts. And they, all right, you got up to their own abilities, their sever abilities, what they were able to do. So God didn't give you more than what you could do, what he knew you could do, what he knew you could handle. So he gave you 10 talents, he gave you 5 talents, he gave you 1 talent, right? And because he knew what was already in you that you could handle. Everybody should have invested those talent, that talents, that money, in because that's what a talent is in those days. But you should invest whatever God has given you to the fullest of your ability. Right. Or if nothing else, bring it back to the bank that you could get interest off of it. You know? Because when the master came and he asked them, he came to balance the books. The one who had hid the talent under the rock, he cast him out where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Makes you think.
Well, I still have to think, is the word talent just money?
No. When he's talking about that, he's talking about a certain weight, because in the Roman times, I mean, there is the weight of gold that it was given. But you could use talent in our vernacular. You know, your abilities, because it was given, he gave them a talent severed to their abilities, what they were able to do.
It's their fruitfulness.
It's their fruitfulness. Yes, my brother.
Do you think when somebody just grieves and quenches the Holy Spirit, that when they, I mean, I think that we talked on the phone, when they turn, you think there's just like an uncaring, like, they don't care about the Lord anymore, they just...
The big word is apostasy.
If you quench, you grieve yourself, because you wonder what if I surrendered and I did the will of God, and what would have happened? What would have changed?
Now, see, we can't get over caught up in that thought process, because that puts way too much our responsibility. You know, it's still obeying the Word of God. No doubt, you must. We sang the song, Trust and Obey, because there's no other way to be happy with Jesus than to trust and obey. Yes, it is.
When you're filled, and if you don't use that gift that he gives you, it dwindles.
Yeah.
And your heart becomes hardened, because you're not paying attention to the...
Right.
And I do believe that people's hearts get back to that stone heart.
Yes. And, Jesus talked about a different parable, the seed and the soils. Right? It was, he went and he scattered seed out. Some fell on the rocky places, some fell on the road, some fell on the roadside. You know? And each of them produced something, but they got choked out, they got trampled down, the ravens came and ate it, whatever. But the seed of God was planted. One of those groups, they consumed it with joy and they sprang up quickly. But then the cares of the world choked them out. Now, they have everything. When you have the seed and it starts to grow, you are the full-grown plant. But when we take our eyes off of Jesus, we take our eyes off of Abba Father, and we get so consumed in the world system,
cares of the world.
The cares of the world,
and it can choke us out. And fear is a huge thing, you know. That's why it tells us 360 plus times in the Bible to something about fear not. All right, don't be afraid. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything in prayer and supplication. So that fear is a driving force that comes from the darkness, the unseen things. But see, we don't walk in darkness, all right? We are children of the light, amen, because we've been adopted into Christ Jesus. And the writer of Hebrews says, we are not those who fall back, who fall away. We are them who persevere, right? We push through, right? And so still, there's an ability that is all in obedience. You look at the church in America, how many are saying we're pushing through, and how many are too afraid to show, too scared, you know? I'm afraid of Governor Cuomo or the state troopers or the sheriff's department.
Actually, they're very legalistic, yes.
Yeah, you know, and so... In that, and looking at what Paul is writing to the churches here, we need to have our mind on the things of God.
Right.
Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, right? The kingdom of heaven. And all these other things will be taken care of. Food, clothing, shelter, right? All that stuff will be. But first you need to be seeking God. You know, you need to be having, allowing the Holy Spirit to have the king, the lordship of your life, right? Because you're no longer your own. You've been bought with a price, all right?
Yes,
salvation didn't cost you anything, but it cost Jesus everything, right? And it wasn't just the beating, and it wasn't just the death. It was the separation for the Father. For the first time in all of eternity, the unity of the Trinity got separated. And God, when Jesus, the Holy One, became sin, God had to turn his back on him.
It's mind-blowing, because if you think about it, he put it on him.
Mm-hmm.
All those things, horrible things.
Well, it's not even the horrible things, it's the sin nature.
Yeah.
No, because we can nitpick them and call them sins, and then we think of these little things, you know. Because Jesus never committed adultery, all right? Jesus never stole. But the sin nature of all of creation, because of the fall of Adam, was placed on him. And he became the sin bearer. Was it a Goel? The go-between, the goat that they would pray and lay hands on, wasn't that the Goel, right? So they'd have this one goat, or this one goat that would come during the sacrifice. Scapegoat, that's it. The scapegoat. And they would lay the sin on the scapegoat and then leading out of the town and setting free.
One, that was one, then they killed the other one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Over a mountain or whatever. Yeah.
And so you look at those things, right? All those pictures. All the Old Testament was written for our knowledge in the New Testament.
That's right. Amen.
And so in that, so we have the Spirit of God in our hearts crying, Abba Father. Verse 7, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Howbeit then, when you know not God, or when you knew not God, ye did serve unto them which by nature are not gods. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, I like that, rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and meagerly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? Now look at what he says here, right? And from verses 8 and 9. Remember when you knew not God? Right? When you didn't know God, you were just a dog. Alright? You just did what a dog does. You just ran around and howled at the moon. That's all you would do. Just filled your flesh full. It's what you did. Right? And then you did serve those things which were not gods. They were by nature. Okay. Let me make sure that I'm right. I'm pretty sure I am, but I got to go back and double check this. all right. It talks in Romans chapter 1 about this, right? About where we just serve the things that were not gods by nature. Right? And he says in verse 17 and reading forward, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now, catch what he said right there. Those who hold the truth. Who hold the truth? Who is the truth? Jesus. Who holds the truth? No. You do. Right? He said, "I'm going to make my abode is in you." Right? Christ is in you. The Spirit of God is in you. You hold the truth in unrighteousness. Ah. He says, let's read that again. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that even they are without excuse. But that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, and neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into the image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness." All right, now look carefully at how Paul was writing to the church there. What he was saying, all right, that God made known to mankind the things, right? And it goes on later that talks that they worship the creature rather than the Creator, and God gave them up, all right? And here, before we knew God, before we started serving God, we served the nature of things that were not God's, right? And you know, I mean,
we didn't have faith.
We didn't know what faith was. We didn't have grace. You know? So we just served our carnal instincts, our flesh. We did the things that just it felt good, right? But when God came down, right? When the light shined on you and you understood that it was from God that He loves you and He brought you out of darkness into His marvelous light, why in the world would anyone go back? But he's saying here in Galatians that some did. Some do.
Some are.
Right? Mm-hmm. So this isn't a new thing here, what we're experiencing today. What we're seeing today is a dividing. You know? What we're really seeing is that there really only needs to be a narrow way. Jesus asked, "When I come back," I think it was Luke chapter 8, "will I find faith on the earth? Will there be anybody, when I come back, waiting, looking for me?" That, I mean, church, right? Church. Do we really believe what we say we believe is real?
And is that a symbol of just before He was crucified, He asked to come to the garden and pray with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they all fell asleep.
Yep.
He says, "You can't wait for 1 hour?"
Yeah. All right. "Can't pray with me for 1 hour?" And so, and thank you for bringing that up, Alan. I was thinking the other day about faith, and I get really critical. I have a critical spirit. I do. You can ask my wife. I get bummed out quick over things because I expect, and I shouldn't expect, but I do.
Yeah.
You know, I expect if you call yourself a Christian, you ought to be excited about coming to church, right? If you call yourself a Christian, you ought to be walking in the righteousness of God. You call yourself a Christian, you ought to look like a Christian on Monday as much as on Sunday, or Thursday as much as on Sunday. You ought to be the same in season and out season. And so I kind of put my thoughts into other people, which is a sin. I ought not do that, but that's, hey, that's one of my things, right? That's what I do. But when I was looking through the scripture, and Jesus was walking on the water, and there was a horrible storm at sea, and they saw him coming, and they said, Jesus said, it's me, and Peter said, if it's you, Lord, let me come out. How many of the apostles were in the boat?
All of them.
All of them. How many got out?
One.
Peter. Did that mean that the other ones didn't have faith?
Yeah.
No, thank you. They did have faith. They were just scared.
Well, and that's what brought me back to the talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because he had faith to the talent that he was given.
Yeah.
Okay. He thought that he could maybe walk to the Lord.
Yeah.
Where the others didn't find themselves worthy. And I've always had that battle because we're in a family where everybody looks after the money, the talent, and that, well, look at, they're getting increased. Well, we get increased by witnessing to somebody.
Yeah.
The Bible speaks of that.
Yeah.
And yet you see Christians that are backslidden and come back again.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
yes,
after
I,
years,
after
years,
years.
Back again and say,
yes.
You know,
as long, I believe, as long as you have breath, because the Holy Spirit will never leave you. He can't until that day of redemption.
Right.
As long as you have breath, you can come back. All right, I believe that. But I also believe the longer you walk away, the harder it is to come back.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Because you get that calloused heart that you were talking about, Tina.
Hardened heart.
You did. They get that hardened heart, and
so you're not once saved, always saved.
No, I don't believe that.
I don't believe it either.
I really don't. Yeah. I believe that nothing can snatch you out of the hand of God. Absolutely,
right.
That's true.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean I don't have a free will to walk away.
It's abiding in that.
Thank you.
Well, people backslide, and then they go. I don't understand the whole backslidden thing, and then coming back. But they do.
They do, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm with you. And I've known some that backslid and didn't come back, you know.
Right. Well, which is usually the case.
Right, which is usually there. But there is a few, and when they come back stronger.
Right.
Look at the prodigal son, right? Mm-hmm. Took all of the father's wealth, all of his inheritance, he went and wasted it, ran out of it, and he said, at least I need to go back to the father.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a parable or a good story. I think it was an account. I hate to call the accounts in the Bible stories.
I know.
Pinocchio is a story.
Examples.
You know? Examples, yes. Accounts,
well,
examples.
Even Peter, where he said that he would fight and do whatever for Christ,
mm-hmm.
he says, tonight before the cock crows, three times you'll deny me.
Yeah.
Is that not the same as back then?
Yeah. Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And then after that, even after the resurrection, because after the resurrection, he said, I'm going fishing. And the other boy said, sounds like a good idea to me. I'm going back to the old way of life. Sounds like a good idea to me.
Mm-hmm.
But Jesus met him on the shore, you know, and he does that fishing miracle again. I need to go fishing with Jesus. You're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. Yeah.
Do you love me?
Yes.
And then just as soon as he had, Peter said, yay, Lord, you know I love these.
Feed my sheep. Yeah.
Feed my sheep.
Yeah.
Here's a directive.
Sheep, lambs, right?
Yeah.
Feed my sheep. Do you agape me? I fillet you, all right? No, really, Peter, do you agape me? You know, I really fillet you a lot, you know, you're my bud.
Right.
And then the third time, man, do you agape me? It made Peter angry. He got frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And God said, feed my lambs. Just, you love me, walk with me.
Yeah.
If you, Jesus said this, was it John 14? If you love me, obey my commandments. Right?
What is this commandment? Love one another.
Love the Lord God with all your heart, soul.
Yeah.
Now, because I can't love you without loving God first.
Right.
Yeah, I really can't, because... you know, I'm me, you know. And I don't, right, George? Yeah. And so, right, but to love God. And now think about that concept. What does it mean to love God?
Perfect love without giving and taking.
Well, that's what he does for you. What does it mean for me to love God?
You just get rid of everything else and put him in.
If you don't love me more than your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, your children, even your own life, then you can't be my student. You can't be my disciple.
Right.
That's right.
I talk to my deacons. My wife won't let me come.
That's why you give it back to God.
I know. Can you tell I'm struggling about that? It's really got a call on my job, Lord. Yeah.
Because you said he'll go for the one that's straying.
Yeah. You know, and I ain't saying they're straying. It's just, I miss them. You know, I miss them. I miss seeing them. I miss bouncing ideas off of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I miss being held accountable. Without your deacons, you really don't have very much. You know, I got you guys. Praise God, y'all read your Bibles. You know, and you know, go me anyhow. I'm kicking a horse, but not be kicked. And so, okay, we'll get into verse 10 and following next week. Amen. All right. Hey, I love you guys, and I'll pray for you, and y'all can go home. Amen. Dear Father, I thank you so much. I thank you for the word. I thank you for the conversation, Lord. I ask, Father, that you would just fill us, Lord God. Fill us that we would come to you empty and you would fill us to overflowing. And then allow us, Father, to dump our lives out into a lost and dry land, Lord, that it can be watered with your goodness and grace. I pray, Father, that you would, again, just encourage your body, Father, that you would send that your Holy Spirit, one, just blow across the coals of our cold, deadly hearts, Father, and that you would create that new fire, make a new ember, Lord, in us, that we would have that flame of when we first believe.
Yes.
And Lord, I thank you and I praise you for that. Father, thanks for the word. Thanks for your people being here. Lord, let your face shine upon them. Bless them. Cover them with your goodness and mercy, Lord, and just keep them safe, Father. Keep us in that land of Goshen. Although the plagues are going on, the darkness is out there, we're still your light. And we thank you for those things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.